If you have your Bible, you don't really have to turn to it because we're going to put it up. It's Proverbs 17, verse 22. I'm going to leave that up there because eventually I'm going to get to that verse this morning. It'll be coming. And hopefully the Lord will bless you real good because of those verses. I want to start us out in a word of prayer again. Father, we ask you to bless your word today. We know, Lord, that it is the strength of our soul, is the wisdom of our heart. It is all that we are and shall ever be. And so we ask you to draw us close to you. And Lord, not just simply have this head knowledge, but it would break forth in our hearts that we might live those marvelous and wonderful verses in our lives day to day. That the world might see, that our neighbors might see, that our friends might see Jesus in us, the hope of glory. So, Father, this morning we ask that you be with us. Especially I ask, Lord, that you would bless this mess of a sermon. And, Lord, that you somehow or another would use it to touch our hearts today. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, I think that Jesus was the greatest storyteller that ever was. And one of the reasons why he was such an effective storyteller was he took everyday, ordinary things and he told those. And then we had a spiritual application that we understood and we could bring to our lives. And we didn't miss the point of that. And so we see that over and over and over again. Last night, I just want to thank Dennis and Lisa for hosting the fellowship. And I went over there last night. Supposed to be there at 5 o'clock, and I got there at 4. But anyway, that's just par for the course when it comes to me. But they had a hamburger and a bratwurst, and it was good fellowship, and it was really fun. But right when we sat down to have our hot dog and stuff like that, Pam was sitting at the table, and most of the ladies were sitting there, and Pam recounted the story that when her and Rick were first married, they lived in an old farmhouse, and it was this time of the year when things were starting to get cold. She said they had a little television set, and so they were sitting in the living room trying to watch this television set, and the only light there was basically there was the television light, and they were sitting there watching this program or something, and something kind of scurried across the floor. And so they kind of thought, what was that? But, you know, in just a few minutes or so, another scurried across the floor. And so again, they kind of saw it, but they didn't see it, you know, kind of a thing. And then just a few seconds later, something else scurried across the floor. And so I don't know if it was you, Pam, or Rick, or whatever, who somebody got up and turned the light on, and bingo, it was those wolf spiders. There weren't three of them. There was a whole colony of them. Those three were scouts. They were just trying to get back to the group. Wow, you know, wouldn't that be something? I saw a little story about that even last week. This guy said that, you know, he got up in the middle of the night and he needed a drink of water. And so he went to the bathroom to get a drink of water. And as he was going to the bathroom, barefooted, he goes, quick. You know, and he thought to himself, what have those children spilled all over the floor? Probably those little goldfish, you know, or some kind of cornflakes or Cheerios or something. So he goes into the bathroom to get that drink of water. He turns on the light. Guess what it was? Spiders. Wouldn't that be a freaky thing, huh? Turn the light on and whoa, dead spiders all over your feet, you know. Well, I haven't ever had that happen, but, you know, it's the time of year when those things come in. We understand those things and we see it all the time. And so Jesus took those things that we saw are common and he illustrated the character and nature of God. He illustrated what God expects from us. And of course Jesus said that the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. And of course we recognize and realize that Jesus is that word incarnate. So when we think about the wisdom of God, we think about what God would say to us and bless us, then actually, it is this whole thing. It is the Word of God. That's what will bless you. That's what will strengthen you. That will give your life meaning. That will help you get through the bad times. It will also help you understand the good times. It's what God has done for us. He's recorded it for us. He's kept it for us. He's sanctified it for us so that we might know of Him. Well, about 3:30 last night, the Lord woke me up, and I told the folks over at the fellowship last night that this was kind of a junkyard dog kind of sermon. I didn't know where it was going. I just thought, oh my, this is, you know. The Lord woke me up at 3:30 in the morning, and he said, we don't need that. And we don't need this. You may have heard this. He was born in an obscure village, a child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. Have you heard that? He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never lived in a big city. He never traveled more than 100 miles from his home. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross. You've heard that, right? And it says at the very end, all the armies that ever marched and all the navies that ever sailed and all the parliaments have ever set and all the kings that have ever reigned have not affected mankind more powerfully than that one solitary life. But the Lord said, we don't need that part. So I'm taking that away. Okay. You already heard it. You got it. Okay. So this part was okay to leave in. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever had any anxiety? Yes, I think so. It's common to us as human beings. I read a story about a man named Jack who was driving down the road one dark night, and he got a flat tire. And so he was thinking to himself, how am I going to fix this tire out here in the dark? And he saw a cabin kind of off the road down in the valley a little bit, down in the woods. And so he began to walk towards that cabin, thinking he might get some help there. Well, and he began to think to himself, like we all do, he said, what kind of a man would live in a cabin out in the woods all the way down this valley all by himself like this? So he began to think about that. And he said, he's probably the type of man who's mad at the world. Probably some kind of hermit. He might even be violent. He probably is a terrible person. Who else would live in the woods all by himself all the way down here in this kind of thing? So Jack convinced himself that this person who lived in this cabin was a menace to society. And so when the man opened the door, he punched him right in the nose and he ran off. Well, Proverbs 15:15 says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. You see, we take our situations many, many times. We replay the conversations in our minds all about people, and we build up a case against them. We don't know anything about them. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know where they're from. We don't know why the guy's living in the woods by himself. But we build a whole case against them, and we tend to nurse it then. And in nursing it, then we begin to pronounce a curse upon it, and we rehearse that story over and over and over again until we punch the guy in the nose and he doesn't even know why. Well, we need to get rid of that evil in our heart, the scripture says. We need to replace that. Pleasant words, Proverbs 16 says, are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Now, I may forget this, so I'm going to try to say it right now. The Word of God is not only a spiritual healer to your soul, it is a spiritual healer to your body, soul, and spirit, everything about you. Healing unto the bones. Well, I don't know, you know, I thought about this, and years and years ago I actually saw it on television, but it was from the radio when Lou Gehrig, of course, who had ALS, which is a very debilitating muscle condition, which eventually will affect the heart and he'll die. And so he was retiring from baseball. He was a great Yankee baseball player, and he began that speech on the radio like this. Today, I consider myself to be the luckiest man on the face of the earth. What? What? The scripture says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To the which you're able and you're called to be one body. And then what does it say? And be thankful. I think we've got a lot to be thankful for. If we put it in the words of Lou Gehrig, we should say, if we're here this morning and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we should be able to say something like, we're the luckiest people in all the world. And that joy and that peace that passes all understanding should come in our hearts. It shouldn't be just some kind of a Bible verse out there someplace floating around that we've learned or we've read or something like that. It ought to be part of us. And until it becomes part of us, we won't experience that joy because we haven't unpacked it. We haven't let it take effect in our life. We need those kind of things. But there is a starting place, isn't there? Remember over in chapter 3 of John, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus, by night the scripture says he was a ruler of the Jew, and he said unto Jesus, he said, we know that thou art, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For what? For no man can do the miracles thou doest except God be with him. Now, I've said this before. My mother would have said that Nicodemus gave Jesus a compliment. And so Jesus should have said, oh, thank you very much. You're a very astute person. Something along those lines. But that's not what Jesus said. What did he say? Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, or amen, amen, which is truly, truly. Amen, amen. I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, was Jesus being rude or was Jesus telling him some of the sweetest thing in all the world? I think he was telling him some of the sweetest thing in all the world. And Nicodemus, of course, says what? How can this be? How can a man be old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand that, and Jesus said to him, maybe a very pointed statement, he said unto him, he said, art thou not a teacher of Israel, and do not understand these things? Whew. It's like telling a master mechanic that he didn't know where to put the dipstick in. Yeah. So then Jesus takes Nicodemus to something that he should be able to understand. He takes him over the numbers and he tells Nicodemus, he says, remember when Moses was out in the wilderness, the children were wandering around and they, of course, they were breaking camp and putting camp up and all this kind of, out there in the desert, there are all kinds of snakes and all kinds of scorpions and all kinds of things. And this was tough sledding. And the children of Israel said, man alive, what are we doing out here? Matter of fact, I think they told Moses, did you bring us out here? Were there no graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die. And so Moses goes to the Lord. And the Lord tells Moses this really strange thing. He says, I want you to tell the, first of all, take and make a brass snake and put it on a pole. Put it in front of the tabernacle. And then he said, tell the people that when they have a problem with the snakes or the scorpions or whatever it might be, wolf spiders, I don't know if they have them in the middle of the desert or not, but I'm sure they got spiders out there. When they have those problems with those things, and when they're bitten or whatever, then, of course, call the ambulance, go to Ready Men, get fixed. There wasn't any of that. A brass snake on a pole. And God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to what? Look and live. And so Nicodemus had heard that story before. And so Jesus puts it together for him. And he says, now listen, even as the Son of Man is lifted up, I shall draw all men to me. Look to me and live. You know, we're not told right there in that particular section, but we are told later on because Nicodemus comes with another Pharisee, and they take Jesus' body and they put it in a borrowed tomb. He looked and lived. He looked and lived. So right off the bat, let me just tell you, I've got some medicine up here. I want to give you some medicine this morning. That was the whole thing. I just think you all need a dose of something. Did you know that? You need a dose of something. You need a dose of joy is what you need. You need an infusion of joy. Do you know how many times the scripture tells us, in one place or another, Proverbs are plenty of those examples, but one place or another, that we should be looking towards the Lord for joy in our life. Count it all joy, my brother, when you come into diverse temptations. Over and over and over. So it's all over the place. We need to take the medicine, look and live. We'd be far better off. This world is hostile to the gospel. There are not any friendly people out there. There are those that are hostile to the gospel and those people who are lost that can be won by your testimony and your sharing of Christ to them. That's all. The Holy Spirit's out there working way before you. So that's our mission, to take this good news of Christ to that world that's dying out there. But we need to do so because we have joy in our hearts. How many times have you heard something or another that basically describes Christians like we're a bunch of prunes or lemons? You know. Well, no wonder nobody wants to listen about Jesus, because they think we're prunes or lemons. We need to have joy. Our faith should be saying to those that we come in contact with, I've got something good. And what I've got, you can have too. Let me tell you about how that happened with me, through me, through the Holy Spirit of God in Christ. That's what we should be doing with these folks over and over and over again. The Bible, the Word of God, speaks. Jesus is known for who he is today. Have you ever read Hegel, for example? He's a pretty famous philosopher. Most of the stuff he said was junk. Yeah, it's just junk. I had to read him. Carly probably did too. Have you ever read this guy called Sigmund Freud? The father of modern psychology. No wonder the psychologists are so messed up. That's who they're copying, that guy right there. He didn't know any more about psychology than I do. Well, maybe a little bit, but not a whole lot. But we know about Jesus. Most people know something about Jesus. Most people know something about the Bible. They don't know how to apply it. They don't know how to appropriate it or any of those kind of things, but they know about it. So we need to use the Word and speak the Word, that they might hear the Word and the Holy Spirit might affect that. I've asked Rhonda to read a verse for us this morning, a couple verses, I guess. Six verses? Is it really? Okay. All right. Well, Rhonda, read those verses, and then I'm going to ask her to tell us what they mean. I'm confident she's got it.
Matthew 6:19-21. Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, wherever you put your trust, your treasure, whatever you really, and you protect it, and you think, oh, I'm going to put it where I'm going to put mothballs in it, where the moth can't come in, and I'm going to put it somewhere, I'm going to put it in a safe, I'm going to guard it, protect it. That's your treasure. That's your idol, your God. And he's telling us, don't put stock in those things. Put stock in treasures in heaven, where it's guaranteed.
Amen.
And because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your treasure is where your heart already is. You already sent your heart ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need to be sending our heart ahead to heaven.
Amen, amen. What'd you think? Did you do okay? I like to. Yeah, amen. Amen. I do. It's not all that hard. You know, it makes good sense because it is common sense mingled with the wisdom of God, and we can appropriate those things. Yeah, we can do it. Now I asked Barb to read another couple of verses. Was it 6 verses for you, Barb? I can't remember. Whatever. Barb's going to read them and she's going to tell us what they mean. Amen. Isn't it so simple? If God knows, takes the time out to know about sparrows that aren't worth nothing, basically, how much more is he going to know about you who are valuable, supremely valuable? And he wants to do those good, marvelous things in your life and for you. He wants to do that. That's his heart. I'm thinking that's a good message. We need to know that. We need to know that. It's wonderful. The scripture is good medicine to our hearts. I've got some stuff up here. I've got some aspirin. What do they call aspirin? The wonder drug, the miracle drug. Because you can take it for a headache, you can take it for all kinds of stuff. It's just about good for anything that ails you. At least that's what they want you to know, anyway. They sell lots of that stuff. Doctors prescribe people with heart conditions or whatever like that to take an aspirin or baby aspirin or something like that. So if your doctor told you to take an aspirin a day or something like that, you come back in 6 months and your blood pressure is going crazy and all this kind of stuff, and he asks you, boy, what's happening, you know? And you say, well, I didn't want to take that aspirin. Never liked that stuff. Then it's not going to do you any good. Is your doctor going to be happy? I don't think so. And then there's this stuff here. I love this stuff. Don't you like Philips Milk of Magnesia? Isn't that great stuff? You can go and find your children's chalk and eat it. It's about the same stuff. But it can help you if you have a stomach ache and all that kind of stuff. I'm looking for Pepto-Bismol rather than this stuff, but you know, this will do it. And then of course, what's been happening lately with most of us? Allergies. You know, I had an allergy attack a week ago myself. Grayson's been snorting and wheezing and carrying on. Caleb's been coughing and hacking. Andrew's eyes are watering. His ears hurt. Allergies! And we tell them, you know, take some Benadryl. It's good for allergies. And of course, one of them says, I don't like that stuff. He's back there in the booth. I don't like that stuff. I don't want it. And of course, his dad would say, "No, son, you know, listen, Benadryl is good for you. It'll help you out. It won't, you know, maybe solve the whole problem, but it'll help you." And so, you know, he finally takes a Benadryl or something like that. I was telling him to take, where's Tom at? Take vitamin C and those kind of things, you know. And I can't believe this. I'm taking some vitamin C, and Caleb's, you know, snorting and wheezing, and he's looking at vitamin C, and he says, these vitamin C tablets are from 2010. I said, tear the label off and take a couple. They'll help you. Well, all those things are good for us. That's better. That's better than all these things combined. And God guarantees it's going to be better. And the verse that I had, put that marvelous verse up there in full. That's the verse that I had for this sermon this morning. It's Proverbs 17, verse 22. Where's the rest of the verse, guys? The King James says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Okay? Where's that at? Oh, there it is. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Because we need it, because I'm going to incorporate some guys to help me this last part. We're almost done. If we get done 5 or 6 minutes or something, you guys, you can be the Methodist, you know, over there. Yeah. So, we're almost done. See, when the Lord cuts all that stuff out, it's better, isn't it? Okay, so, but I don't know that verse like that. My granddaughter, when she was 4 years old, learned this verse. But she learned it from the Holman Standard Bible. Can you imagine that? And so the Holman Standard Bible says, a joyful heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. So they just exchanged that merry heart for a joyful heart. So now, as you well know, singing is not some of my good stuff. Pastor Kim's kept me in the choir. Becky kept me in the choir. It's just, you know, for body, there's somebody there, you know, filling the space. It's not the talent part. But I do know this verse put to music. Now it's put to music for a 4 year old. See, it's right in my ballpark. Okay. So I'm going to try to sing this verse, and I'm going to get other folks to help me sing this verse. And it's going to be like the Oak Ridge Boys or something. It's going to be something fantastic. And so the verse we're going to sing, Dell's going to help me first of all. And is this mic on now? Okay, help. Give it to Dell, because Dell's got the crucial part of this part first of all here. And so it goes something like this. I'll sing it one through, brother, and then I want you to do that other thing. Really do it. Okay? It goes something like this. A joyful heart is good medicine, good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine, a joyful heart. But a broken spirit dries up the bone. So that's how it kind of goes. Dale had never heard this song before. I don't know where he's been living. But anyway, we're going to sing it, because the last part is going to be Dale's solo. He's going to nail it. All right, ready? Here we go. A joyful heart is good medicine, a joyful heart is good medicine, joyful heart.
But a broken spirit drieth the bones.
What do you think? Oh, come, no, you're not done. You're not done. I think we can do, come on, Dell, you're the dried up the bones. But I know Dennis is a good singer. So Dennis, come with me. And so Dennis is a tenor, he's a bass, he's a soprano, he can sing anything. So we're going to try to combine that first part, but we're going to give Dell that last part, because we need that bass. Right? Okay. Here we go. Ready? Joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine, a joyful heart is good medicine, a joyful heart.
But a broken spirit drieth the bones.
There's a contrast there, isn't there? All right, come on. I got one more victim.
Victim, that's about it.
Come on, Todd, come on. Now you see what you're being asked to do, see? Heidi said that Todd is actually a great singer. You know, when stuff comes on television and things like that, he sings along with them, and you know, all this kind of stuff. So we're gonna do the first part, but Dell's got the yeah, we're the trio, and Dell is the broken spirit guy.
All right, broken spirit. All right.
Here we go. Ready? Joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine, a joyful heart is good medicine, a joyful heart.
But a broken spirit drieth the bones.
All right. I'm thinking all right. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. You may be seated, I suppose. And now we're going to let you, I'm telling you this morning, that's the only thing I had. Take a good dose of the wisdom and medicine of God. It'll do you good. It'll be good for your bones. And so I want to ask you to stand up because we're going to sing the invitation. In case the Lord has put something on your heart and you want to make it public, maybe, I don't know, maybe your bones are so dry you want to come up here to the altar and get some good oil on them. I don't know. But nevertheless, you see, we're starting to be to the end. I promise you we're getting to the end.